Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
This is Wretched Radio, not one. Oh, no, sirree, Bob. Can I say, sir? I haven't adjusted to this brave new world. But hey, as long as I brought up the subject and interrupted myself, a reminder, we are responding to our brave new world. It's getting bonkers out there. Perhaps you've noticed yourself. By the way, not to interrupt myself, having interrupted myself already, I was reading about inflation prices. Somebody stated, it was probably like the New York Times, inflation is up 6 to 8%. It's like, not in my world. I can't go to Zaxby's and experience a 6 to 8% increase in food prices. It is insane out there, but I digressed from my digression. We are responding to this brave new world with a matching gift campaign so that we can launch 8, count them, 8 new voices here in Wretchedland. We are Gospel Partners Media. We would like to really invade social media, the airwaves, with some new, powerful, theologically strong voices that will help the local church, that will help the sheep, and will support the local shepherds. Please, would you check it out and potentially consider supporting us? We do have a matching gift campaign. It is a $250,000, which these days is worth about $84.18. But it's a $250,000 match campaign. Learn more at wretched.org/, the word is fellows, because we're calling these jolly good fellows. Although, Jimmy, I am so excited about this. Not entirely sure, but methinks we found a goyle.
Ah.
That's right. We're going to have a fellowette. That's my hope. This, I got to tell you, we do well to, on occasion, raise a 21st century Ebenezer. An Ebenezer was a stone of remembrance in the Old Testament. Hey, a big thing happened here where God clearly was working. Commemorate it. Build a monument. Now, the good news is you don't have to do that these days. It would probably be toppled down anyway, especially at Columbia University. Half the kids support Hamas in Gen Z. I was reading this poll last night. Half the kids in Gen Z land support Hamas. Part of it is probably trendy. It's groovy to disagree with parents. Who do they support? Israel. Go Hamas! Go Hamas! It is a trend. And they deal with it a little differently in different universities. Columbia, they're meeting with the disgruntled students to have a conversation about how we can maybe coexist without burning down the buildings, pretending that we're not entirely pro-Hamas because, wow, we sure do get a lot of funding from Jewish people, and yet we really are secretly pro-Hamas ourselves. That's what they're meeting. Texas, they just send in the law and clear them out. Little different in the way they do things in the South. Nevertheless, we are trying to respond to this brave new world and speak into it with these voices. And if you could help us, we would be mega, not mega, mega grateful for your support at this time. Wretched.org/fellows. Wretched.org/fellows. Jimmy?
Yes?
Did I? Oh, I know. The Ebenezer Stone. Something. You know, you think it's easy having ADHD. Well, it's not. I'm just telling you, it's not. The fellowette dropped into our lap. It's just the Lord sometimes, he's always at work in our lives. We have a tendency to forget that. We truly are so often children making mud pies in the slums. when God would call us to the sea and say, look at all I've got for you. Look at everything. And one of the things that I think he would have us look at is his providence and his care of our lives and his constancy, his faithfulness, his goodness, so that we surrender not some, but all to him, trusting him completely and totally. And we have everything we need to do that in the Bible. Having said that, it ain't a bad idea sometimes to write down, hey, this is what the Lord did. I say this with regret and almost an air of hypocrisy because I haven't done this myself and I wish that I had. I can remember a number of times looking back where it was so, it's like, wow, Lord. I sometimes hear evangelicals say, well, the Lord really showed up. The Lord is always showing up because he never leaves or forsakes. He doesn't make an appearance. He isn't spectacular sometimes. He's spectacular all the time. But there are just some times when we recognize it's so obvious that without him, this would not have happened. And this fellowette is one of those instances. We'll let you know when that becomes official. In the meantime, wretched.org/fellows, wretched.org/fellows. And if Jimmy would quit interrupting me,
I'm sorry.
We'll get to today's first word du jour. The word of the day from the Federalist, actually from the New York Times, polycules. Are you familiar with this term? Oh, Jimmy, you're shaking your head like you actually know what this is.
I've heard of it.
It's like... It's like just
the polyamory stuff.
It's more like a great big acceptable, sorry, orgy. This has nothing to do with marriage. New York Times Magazine, lessons from a 20 person polycule. I don't know if you remember. It was just a couple of decades ago when people said, they're trying to undermine marriage. Well, guess what? It looks like those not prophetic utterances were certainly prophetic. Lessons from a 20-person polycule, how they set boundaries, navigate jealousy, wingman their spouses, and foster community. I love the new lingo and how we will take a word to try to apply it to a situation to justify it, rationalize it. Hey, in a polycule, you get to be somebody's wingman. Did they use the word wingman? Oh boy, that's gonna be a problem. It's a wing zed or zip or zer or duda or whatever it is. The word polycule is a synthesis of polyamory. So there's your polyamory, Jimmy. Engaging in multiple romantic relationships and molecule.
It's scientific.
Right. Oh, that's so agitating that you say that. Yeah, exactly. See, we checked this out in a laboratory, the laboratory of our own lustful minds. It seems to have started to catch on about 15 years ago to suggest an intricate structure. This is the New York Times. They try to gussy things up. This is academia's trick. Let's do something totally stupid. Get a degree in Taylor Swift, and you come up with some sort. It's pop culture theorizing heteronormativity studies of the anthropological division. Oh, it's legitimate to study the Taylor Swift, I guess. So it's a molecule and polyamory, which is an intricate structure formed of people with overlapping deep attachments, romantic, sexual, sensual, and platonic. Here are some of the highlights from that article, courtesy of the Federalist. They use a term called ethical non-monogamy. Okay. If something is obviously ethical, you don't have to call it ethical. This is my ethical microphone. What are you hiding? What do you mean it's unethical? Well, we stole it. But it's ethical stealing. Oh, okay. I'm tracking with you. Quote, it's freedom. Said one, I'm so grateful to be a part of it. I have this abundance of love to give. I feel so in my power. Ah, the therapeutics speak. We all approach E&M, that would be your ethical non-monogamy, differently. Everyone is so deeply in love with each other. Whether or not it's romantic love, no, it's not. Because you don't know what love is. That's the foundational problem with this. What is love? Okay, I'm going to try to answer it because Foreigner couldn't. The other day, I bumped into a really smart, enjoyable couple. And they were progressive and yet becoming increasingly conservative with their economics. But libertarian at best when it came to moral issues. Because we just have to let people live. And half the world, women, so abortion, duh. We just let people, we don't try to convert anybody, said this very nice Jewish couple. And it struck me, hey, wait a second. That's not nice. If you know that somebody is wrong, the nice thing is to tell them. That's what love is, or at least an expression of genuine love, doing for somebody what is best regardless of how they feel. But alas, and or a lad, we have another word du jour. Next on Wretched Radio.
As you know, we've been sharing with you some big changes that are coming very soon here to Gospel Partners Media. 8 new powerful voices will soon be joining the fold. It's our biggest and boldest move yet. Imagine a Christian version of the Daily Wire. Well, that is what's on its way. These men that are joining our ministry will be creating compelling content that will speak truth into our darkening culture. I'm talking about men like Pastor Brad Bigney, Tim Challies, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Andrew Walker, Dr. John Kratz, and others. But here's where you come in. We need your help to make this vision a reality. We're in the middle of a $250,000 match campaign. Every dollar you give will be double. We know you have questions, and we have answers available right now at wretched.org/fellows. That's wretched.org/fellows. And remember, while we would love to have your financial partnership, we covet your prayers even more. Wretched.org/fellows.
I'm so excited about this. That's right. I'm actually giddy about Bibles. We are going to be doing another campaign with our good friends at the Masters Academy International. We're going to be sending MacArthur Study Bibles to places that, for various reasons, our brothers and sisters don't have study Bibles. And we did a campaign to the Philippines. 10,000 Bibles were sent to our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. I think we're either going to do another 10 or 15,000 to countries whose names we better not speak. So be on the lookout for it. And if you'd like to start even supporting that now, that would rock. You can learn more about the amazing Masters Academy International. Don't forget, they've got the mini seminaries around the globe training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth. Telling you, first-class ministry with generational impact. You can learn more at wretched.org/Bible.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. Through candid conversations with university students and wisdom from experts, this season delivers some unwavering answers from a biblical perspective. Whether it's understanding the reality of heaven and hell, navigating the complexities of marriage, or uncovering the truths about money and forgiveness, Road Trip to Truth Season 4 will be your guide. It's perfect for youth groups, families, or anyone who seeks to defend their faith with confidence. Road Trip to Truth has been more than a series. It's a tool for sparking meaningful discussions and inspiring a commitment to the gospel. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Important dates in Christian history. 716 AD. Boniface, the Apostle of Germany, sets out as a missionary to bring the gospel to pagan lands. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Christianity found shelter and thrived in Europe. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Holly Kuehl. or sex cult. This is Wretched Radio, the New York Times Magazine, writing a glowing expose on 20 people who are in kind of like a big... I'm sorry, this word is so coarse and it is so crude. I don't think that it violates our Ephesians 4, 28 through 5, 4 rule of being coarse speak, but it's like, that's, by the way, how we should feel about abortion. When we hear the word abortion, I think even with abortion, I know the left tries to sanitize it. Women's reproductive health care. It's abortion. I think our even that word has become desensitized. It's murder. And we should have a revulsion toward what happens and never let the images leave our brain. Probably don't want to dwell on them, but never let them leave your brain. You've seen what an abortion looks like. The bits of a baby on a tray laid out to make sure that we're counting all of the body parts. Oh, before we put him in a Ziploc baggie and toss him in the garbage, it should just cause us to go, oh. The word polycule should cause us to go, oh. And they use these words to try to sanitize something that is so sinful. When I hear polycule, I'm like, the word that comes to mind for me, sorry for that, it's just like a great big orgy. That's what this is. Permission to have an orgy. Whether it's the entire group of 20 or running around behind closed doors, don't know why you need that privacy, Charlie Rich. Why don't you just do it anywhere if there's no shame in this? It is nothing more than an orgy. And they're trying to put an ethical shine on it. Jimmy, during the break, you found an article from the Daily Signal?
Daily Caller.
Daily Caller.
Yeah, written by Gage Clipper.
Gage Clipper.
Uh-huh.
And Gage Clipper said, "Like, we got to stop calling it a polycule."
Yeah, he says we need to start referring to it as sex cults.
Now, there's two ways that we can do that. I think that that's a powerful way to make a point and to really actually start standing. This is something that I've kind of thought about for a number of months, maybe years now, that when we're in public and when we're in these conversations, rather than just kind of accepting it and swallowing it, we actually use language that defines and states what it is and that it is not morally acceptable. And there's two ways that we can do that. You can do it sinfully or non-sinfully. You mean sex cult? Well, that's one way to do it. I'm not sure that's helpful or loving. On the other hand, to simply state, oh, polycule. Oh, those are sex cults. That's what those are. We need to start using words that actually describe what these things are. This article in the New York Times Magazine, the language, it's all a semantic game. We are losing the semantics war. And that is why I think using language that simply, no, this is what it is. That's not love, that's perversion. Now, you can do it in such a way that is angry and off-putting or just matter-of-factly. For whatever this is worth, and you're going to say, Friel, nothing. It's worth nothing. Here are more quotes from this article in the New York Times Magazine. And I think that this is self-evident. If not, it should cause an alarm bell to go off and say, you know, what's really happening on these university campuses, it ain't funny. What they are indoctrinating these children with, go to Columbia U, that Hamas is good, that somehow Israel is the bad guy. Are they perfect? Of course not. War ain't pretty. But you've got one people group that has actually codified their desire to wipe out an entire people group. That's evil. And yet on university campuses, it's embraced. CRT, all of that. This stuff is coming to bloom. And it stinks. These petals ain't pretty. This is an ugly fruit of a terrible progressive root. Okay, hold on, Jimmy, what is, Alex Karp is the name of the guy. He is the he does a software. What's it called? Software company.
Yeah, Palantir.
I've never heard of it. I think that they do software for different sort of applications for like the military. I don't know why he was at the Reagan Library. There was some sort of Q&A panel, and this is what this fellow said about what's being imbibed on the university campuses.
I am not a legislator, but I am running one of the coolest companies in the world. And I'm telling young people, you are breathing the vapors of a dangerous, new, fake, and self-destructive religion when you are sitting at your elite school pretending because you watched TikTok twice and got an A+ on some crazy paper because your professor couldn't get a job anywhere else, that you actually understand the world. And you're not welcome at my company. Yeah.
Wow. That's refreshing, if you don't mind me saying. So it is a religion. They are drinking the Kool-Aid. And it ain't funny. Because let's just say the 50% of Gen Zers who are pro-Hamas, they continue to grow up, which, well, they'll get older at least. What is it going to be like when they're in office? This ain't funny. What's going on university campuses is very disturbing. Greg Abbott down in Texas, over in Texas, I guess, when the students were getting arrested for their pro-Hamas protests, he said these kids should be arrested and kicked out of school. I might go a step further. If that's how you feel about this country, we might want to take a look and see if you actually should be living here. I know. But this sort of insurrection is used to be understood. No, we can't be doing that here. If you side with a group that wants to exterminate not just our friends in Israel, but this country, I'm sorry, you can't be here. And we used to get that. And the kids are being taught fancy terms for sinful activities, like polycule. Now, this is a quote from the article. I was enthralled in college with gender studies theory, said one participant. I started to articulate that I was, I guess we can use this word, queer. I identify anywhere from femme to non-binary, depending on the day. My pronouns are she, they. You're a singular and a plural? Is that something that you can actually be? How do you go from being one to a bunch of them? Gender studies is where I realized that non-monogamy was an option. I'd like to know what school that was. This is what is being taught at these schools. Not all of them, of course, but most of them, frankly. And these kids are drinking it in, and their worldview is totally upside down and anti-God. That's what this is all about. This isn't just about sexual liberation and freedom. This is anti-God. This article from the Federalist has a ton of different quotes from the article. They talk about polyprocessing, you know, getting together. You got to sort it, figure out, hey, this is how you do your polycule business. The kids are not all right. These kids? Hey, where's mom? Oh, she's with guy number 7. Do you remember meeting Larry? No, wait a second. It was Billy. No, sorry. Hold on. Eric. Well, it's some guy. She'll be back when she feels like it. How are these kids doing? They're being so twisted by this type of dynamic. Polycules. Last night I was at a party that was full of poly people. And at the end of the night, we wound up in this big cuddle pile. On and on it goes. Recently, I was sent a book. Jesse Waters. Not a book I would have ordered for myself, but it was sent to me. And I started paging through it to see what he was up to. And the premise of his book, while not scientific, I think that if we worked just a little bit, we could substantiate it with just a few sociological studies. He went and talked to all of these different people who have, let's just say, non-traditional ideas to be charitable. And here's what he discovered at the core of it. That all of these people either had a very traumatic childhood, it was divorce, it was abuse, or they were experiencing some form of what we would still call mental illness, or they had been fully immersed and indoctrinated at university. He said that was the theme, that was the thread to each and every one of these people who we would say at best are progressive, just totally adrift to the left. They all had that as a common denominator. Mom and Dad, you send your kids where you think is best. But public universities, oof. This is Wretched Radio.